Who has felt pain? Who felt pain today? Okay. So some of you probably don't want to admit it, but a lot of us did. Now, before I talk about the Word of God, I want to just get some basics out of the way and talk a bit of common sense about pain. And so the first thing I need to say is that pain is not simple. Never oversimplify someone's pain. I have felt a lot of pain in my life. When I was in my 20s, I had a back injury of some kind, and after injuring my back, the pain never stopped. It just kept going and going and going. And I was in lower back pain all day, every day, year after year after year after year. And I saw doctors and specialists, and I saw an orthopedic surgeon who said to me, by your 40s, you'll probably be in a wheelchair. Really? Because I'm 50 now. And I just dug a couple months ago and moved 40 ton, give or take, of dirt. But I was in so much pain, and that orthopedic surgeon was completely wrong. But nothing. I tried everything that you can imagine. And the pain was complex. It wasn't as simple as just take this pill, just get this operation, just do this sort of thing. And when I came to the Sunshine Coast 15 years ago, I met a doctor, which was a miracle that somehow I got connected to Dr. Danny Kleinig, who's over there in the room wearing a tropical shirt. And you can't all go and ask him questions now, okay? But I went to see this doctor, ended up praying with his wife, the receptionist, in the waiting room the first time I went to see him, which was kind of unusual. And Danny did a thing on me called prolate therapy, which is a series of injections around the spine. And I was a bit of a wimp about that, wasn't I, Danny? But he did it, and it was very helpful. But it didn't finish all of the pain completely. But what Danny did that also helped me more than anything was he got me to start learning about pain. So he gave me a book called Explain Pain, and he got me to start reading and understanding a bit of the biology and the psychology of pain. And what I learned was pain is not simple. A lot of us think pain is a really, really simple thing. It's like there are buttons in your body called nerves, and when a button turns, a message goes up and brain goes, ouch, right? Simple. Nerve, signal, pain. But it's never ever that simple. There are people who are incredibly injured and seem to feel no pain. Have you met one of them?
No.
There's this great report from the British Medical Journal about pain. Check out this. A builder aged 29 came to the A&E department, accident and emergency, having jumped down from a height onto a 15 centimetre nail. The smallest movement of the nail was so painful that for this patient, he was sedated with fentanyl and midazolam. You can tell me what they are later, Dr. Danny. The nail was then pulled out from below. When his boot was removed, a miraculous cure appeared to have taken place. Despite entering behind the steel toe cap, the nail had penetrated between the toes. The foot was entirely uninjured. And you can hear plenty of stories like that. You can find somebody who your doctor would describe as asymptomatic. Yeah? And you look at their scans and they're in a mess. And you can find someone else. Now, I am not saying pain is all in the mind, because that's too simple. What I'm saying to you is pain is not simple. Often when it comes to pain and how you feel it and how you process it, there's a whole lot going on. And it's not just about your body, it's about your mind. The worst pain is in the mind. But that doesn't mean it's not real. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, please don't simplify other people's pain. Please don't say, oh, all you need is magnesium. I can't tell you. Somebody with chronic pain said to me the other day at church, she said, if one more person tells me to take magnesium for my chronic disease, I'm going to scream. Now, it might not be magnesium. I think it's a wonderful thing, and it probably works very well for a lot of things. I'm not saying don't do it, but don't simplify someone's pain and just walk up to them and say, you know, all you need is this pill. All you need is this therapy. You know, people who suffer a lot of pain have probably tried everything already, and you're probably just insulting them. You're probably actually just treating them inconsequentially if you do that. So just understand that pain is not simple. One doctor says the biology of pain is never really straightforward, even when it appears to be. So let's just explain pain just slightly with something I got out of Dr. Daniel's book. I would like you to just close your eyes and, you know, the skin between your fingers? Yeah? Pinch it so that it hurts. Close your eyes though and pinch it so that it hurts. Just a bit. You doing it? Give it a shot. Once you've pinched it and you can feel it hurting, now open your eyes and look at where it hurts. Research has found unequivocally that looking at the source of pain, unless of course, you know, like you've just lost an arm, looking at the source of pain can often simply decrease the pain. People with phantom limb syndrome, you know, they've lost a limb, they actually can show them a screen with the limb depicted and the pain would decrease or go away. Now, this doesn't mean pain's all in the brain, it just means it's complicated. Another one you can try is you can squeeze your earlobe until it hurts, just a little bit. You got that? Is it hurting? Keep squeezing it, don't let go. You got it? Now, while you're squeezing your earlobe, squeeze your lip till it hurts. Now, for most people, some of you are exceptional, and it might not work for you. But for most people, what happens is, when you squeeze the lip, all of a sudden, you don't notice the pain in your earlobe for a moment, because you suddenly notice the new thing. What this means is simply that both of them should be hurting at the same time, but all of a sudden, for a moment, all you feel is your lip, because pain is complicated. That's all I'm saying. So, 1 in 5 Australians suffer chronic pain. So, 1 in 5 Aussies are in pain most of the day, every day. And when we encounter people in chronic pain, the most unhelpful thing we can do is oversimplify it to them and say, all you need is this. Just do that. Have you tried? Please don't simplify pain, because it's never simple. It's often complicated. The problem with pain is, even when it's a straightforward thing, such as Glenn injured his thumb while gardening, farming, even when it's a simple thing, there's all sorts of other stuff that goes on too, because it's how we think about it that might actually influence how we go through it. So number one thing is, just let's not oversimplify pain and think that there's a simple explanation or cure for every pain. I wish there was. On my little guide, I've got some ideas for pain sufferers. So you know the difference between acute and chronic? Acute is like, acute is instant, you know, when a piano drops on your foot. That's acute pain. Chronic pain is that pain that happens regularly. I've got some hints for chronic pain sufferers. But I just want to say, number one, pain is not simple. And the problem with that is, because pain is not simple, pain can be made worse by all sorts of things, or less by all sorts of things. Because it's not simple, human beings tend to call for an explanation for pain. That's what we do, isn't it? We look for an explanation. We look for a reason. And when we do that, we start to make up stories about our pain. Human beings, we make up stories. We're very good at that. Our whole life is actually a story. The Bible is a story which is true. Jesus is a real story entering into our story. And so we make stories. And when pain comes along, human beings seek for an explanation. And the explanation usually comes out in the form of a story. Imagine if I had believed the story that I was told by an orthopedic surgeon in my 20s. You will be in a wheelchair by your 40s. Imagine if you were in pain and someone came up to you and said, this pain is because of that deep sin that you committed in 1984. That's a story that you make about pain, right? And so what I want to say is, when you start to think about your pain and you start to try and explain pain, just beware of the stories you come up with about your pain. There's a famous doctor, Paul Brand. He started a leprosy mission. He treats patients in India with leprosy. Have you heard of Paul Brand? He has a story about pain. His story is that pain is a gift, because he's observed leprosy sufferers who've lost pain. They've got no pain. And they can stick their hand into a fire and burn it terribly, and there's no warning because there's no pain. So his story is that pain itself is originally a gift. How do you feel about that story?
Don't like it.
No, I don't like it either, Janice. I'm not really into that story. I think it's partially true that having some sort of warning system for my body is a healthy gift. Is that fair to say? But my problem with pain is not its existence. It's quite logical to assume that physical beings are going to have some sort of warning system for damage, right? That's called pain. My problem with pain is not why it exists, but why it hurts so much. That's my problem. And Paul Brand, his story doesn't explain that. Listen, the Bible is full of people in pain. Jeremiah 15, he asks why. He wants his pain explained. He wants an explanation, a story. He says, why is my pain unceasing? Why is my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you be to me like a deceitful brook? He's talking to God. God, are you like a deceitful brook? You know what a deceitful brook is? Australians should know that. That's when you see a line of trees and you're parched and you're dying of thirst and you say, finally water, and there's none there. Yeah, like a mirage. And Jeremiah says, God, you like that? Are you like waters that fail? He has a go at God. So one of the hardest things about pain is not just the pain itself. Oh no. It's what we do with it. And the stories that we tell about our pain can torture us even worse than the pain itself. We can tell stories that say, this pain means I'm going to die. This pain means this is the end for me. This pain means I'm a bad person. This pain means that I'm weak. Or even worse, one terrible story we tell ourselves is, I deserve this pain and more. See the stories we can make up, and other people can make up stories for you too. So when I was in my, early 30s, and pain every day in the back, one young man came up to me from our church and he said, I know how to cure your pain. I was like, oh great, here we go again. And he says, you have a terrible unconfessed sin. That's what he said to me, straight up, at church on a Sunday morning. He says, you have a terrible unconfessed sin. And all you need to do is confess that and your pain will be gone. I wish I could go back and give that guy a better response than I gave, because I didn't give him any. I didn't know what to say except for to drop my jaw. But beware of the pain explanations, because a lot of them are unhelpful. There's a book of pain in the Bible. It's called Job. Job is so sick. He's got boils all over his body and he scrapes them off with pottery. Ugh. And he sits in ashes. And in the book of Job, his friends try to explain his pain. They come up with explanations, which are stories. I wonder which of these you like the best. So his friends come up to him. Eliphaz said, your pain is because you were bad. Not to be sure. I mean, all of us are sinners. All of us. Yeah? Yeah, that's right. We've all fallen short. But imagine being told that story. Bildad comes up to Job, the sufferer in pain, and says, you're in pain. And it's a punishment. That's the one I got. Zophar comes up to Job and he says, you're in pain because you don't repent. Just get on your knees. Eliphaz, he's my favourite. Eliphaz says, you've got to read Job 18, because he says, well, I don't know, but I know this. That's how he starts. He says, I know this, bad things happen to bad people. Have you heard that one? What a terrible story to tell about your pain. Job himself attempts a story. He says, well, perhaps my pain is because God has forsaken me. Notice he uses those words, forsaken me. I am certain God has not forsaken me. Because Jesus said that. He was with me. And Elihu goes on for 5 or 6 chapters. I really get frustrated when someone comes up to me and quotes the Bible and they say, here's some wisdom, and then they quote something from Job chapters 32 to 37. Because they've missed the context. This is the young bloke Elihu explaining Job's pain, and after he does so, God says, fool. He starts with the word, fool. So this is a reason to always pay attention to context. But Elihu says, your pain has deep theological reasons, and he goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on with theology about Job's pain. Is anyone in pain at the moment? Would you mind if I sat down next to you and just, I don't know, I could just explain some theology for 3 or 4 hours, 4 or 5 chapters of the Bible, and would that make you feel better? It might help if it was good theology, but Elihu's not so sure. So before I get on to some good news, which of these is your favourite? Which of these do you love to hate? Which of these annoys you? Just tell someone which of these stories. Have a chat for a moment. And then I'm going to actually get to an answer. Repent. You heard the one about the pastor who was painting his house, and he didn't have enough paint, so he added a bunch of water and he painted it thinner and thinner and thinner, and it was terrible. And his neighbour came up to him and he said, repaint, repaint, and thin no more. Okay, that was for you. Okay, repaint. I don't know where that came from. Did you know that one, Ray? That's an old Adelaide pastor's joke. Okay, moving on. Moving on. Let's not use simple stories that accuse and hurt and make people's pain worse. Instead, I want to give you 2 very, very true, but also painful stories. And the first one is this: pain points to paradise. Now stick with me on this, because this might sound crazy. Pain is a proof of paradise. I actually believe that there's a logic to the universe. There's a logic to reality. And I believe that pain is an evidence of paradise. People say to me, if there's a good God, why pain? And I say, because pain is logically answered by paradise. Let me explain this to you musically. As you know, I love music, and I have a friend in the Townsville Lutheran Parish. Whenever she walked into a band practice, if I remembered, I would do something like this. And then I just look at her. Do you see what I did? Or I'd go, and you know, this woman, Sam, would experience physical pain. She's opera trained. She's opera trained. What did I just do? Did you catch it? Like, I don't know. I could go. Drive her insane. So she couldn't cope. she couldn't cope with this. And my favourite one was just to walk up to a piano and just go... and just keep walking. Now, for her, that's painful. That, for me, is exactly what pain is. Physical pain is literally, this is its musical equivalent. Because physical pain screams incomplete. Incomplete. Physical pain screams, answer me. Doesn't it? It does to me. And so when I am in pain, I'm experiencing this. I'm there. And the answer can only be what we call in music a resolution. You know what a resolution is? So, you know, this is paradise. Except paradise is probably more like... And then Elvis starts singing. Surely. Do you think he... I don't know if he went to heaven or not. It's up to him. But what I'm saying is this. The essence of pain is incompleteness. This is why we experience pain, because in this sinful world we are incomplete and God is not finished with us. And that's inevitable. And one day... God will say, and resolve the pain. That's what paradise is. That's what heaven is. And so Revelation says, there will be no more mourning or crying nor pain, for the former things have passed away. And Romans says, we have the first fruits of the Spirit. We groan silently as we wait for adoption as God's children, when our bodies will finally be set free. What this is saying is, all of this world is incomplete. Pain is a part of that. And all of this world is screaming for an answer. As a Christian, you won't be entirely removed from pain until you're removed from this world. But what happens for the follower of Jesus is, see, it says we groan, which doesn't sound fun, but it says we groan as we wait eagerly for when our bodies will finally be set free. So for the Christian, there's a recognition that this pain, as terrible as it is going somewhere, is to be answered. And so I don't have a simple explanation for everyone's pain in the room. I don't have a simple cure, although I have seen God do miraculous cures, such as, I don't know, some bloke who was supposed to be in a wheelchair moving tons and tons and tons of dirt with a shovel now. What I do know is that Jesus is with us in this, and when we experience it, I think we're being called to have an eternal perspective. So when I'm in pain, I met with a mate the other day who's just gone through a breakthrough and ended up in hospital in the psychiatric ward. And, you know, I didn't give him any simple explanations. I just sat with him and I was with him. But he asked me, well, you're in pain. What do you do with your pain? And I said, you know what I do? I actually do. I think about the cross. I remember Jesus has been with it, in it, through it. And I think about heaven. I reflect on what's to come. I put it in perspective. I don't just kind of dwell and get stuck on that one pinpoint moment of pain, but I think a bit bigger. And that gives me joy. So, would you read with me if you can? So, we do not lose heart. Through our outer self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond comparison. When you are in pain, I know Jesus is with you because I've experienced that he's with me. And I know that we will be with you. And I know that it's not easy. And I will not simplify your pain or make light of it,
But what I do know, and I do believe, is that an eternal perspective answers it. And it gets me through, and it gives me purpose and joy and a reason to get through it. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for your cross. Thank you that you did not turn away from pain, you did not simplify it, you did not offer trite explanations, but that you went right into it with us. Lord Jesus, when we suffer, lift our minds above. Lift our minds to your cross and lift our minds to eternity. We welcome your Holy Spirit even into our pain. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.